This is for every motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Father, I want to bless discovery groups. Father, I want to bless every discipleship group. Father, I want to bless every small group that has sprouted up spontaneously, where people in this church have said, hey, I just want to meet together. Who wants to grow in Christ? You know, Lord, I bless those groups, and I bless discovery groups, and I bless every gathering of the saints to grow each other in Christ. Lord, I bless every aspect where we're intentionally investing in each other, because Sundays aren't enough. Sundays aren't enough. And Lord, I need accountability. And I just thank you for good friends that point me towards healing and wholeness, who won't let me live beneath the level of my true identity. We bless as a church every one of those groups, every one of those small little gatherings to grow each other in Christ. I thank you, Lord, that honor lives there, humility lives there, unity of the Spirit lives there, hearts for reconciliation lives there, and trust. That we trust you. We trust each other. We trust Christ in each other. Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We're going to grow. The days of the church thinking about going up have faded away. We're not going to go up. We're going to grow up here. Well, amen. Speak it in faith. Maybe we should sell the Vienna sausages and the caves and... All right, let me explain it. What I'm saying is, there's been times in the past where the church, all they could think about was leaving planet Earth. When's the rapture? When's the second coming? I hope it's tomorrow. Praise God. No, we can't forfeit the earth to the enemy. While we're here, let's grow up. Let's mature. If he comes tomorrow, we'll all be excited. Amen? But if he doesn't come tomorrow, we're going to work the works of God. And we're going to grow up in all aspects into Christ. That's his desire. Gretchen mentioned the goals handout is at the information desk. If you want to connect and partner with us in what's happening, text the word goals to 94,000. We got lots of response last week when we launched the goals, and just believe that will continue. We're just that great army ascending out of the depths of water. I don't know exactly what that was, but it was powerful. This morning I want to put a prayer on here. I know we usually do a declaration, but I want us to pray this together this morning, okay? Everybody ready? Father God, we thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. If it were not for you, we would not even know our desperate need for your transforming work. Now grant us the courage to be honest and allow your Holy Spirit's power to invade every single lie that tries to hide in our heart or mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, be transformed. We're going to continue a brand new series. It's Assignment 2020. As the Lord's desire for us for this year, and I believe many years to come, is to introduce people to Christ who don't know him. Amen? That's a good goal. But beyond that, he wants to mature and develop every believer here in this house. And that includes me and any leadership that you see sitting around in here next to you. God wants to mature and develop every one of us. I have not arrived. I'm not even close. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him? Yeah, you have. In the Spirit, you have seen him. In the Spirit, you have heard him. What I'm getting at is, he's amazing. And we're all predestined to look like him. And that includes me. And I'm telling you, I have a ways to go. I've seen him. Every one of us need to bow our hearts to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit over the next few years. However long he wants to just speak to us about growing and maturing. This is a desperate need in the body of Christ. Do you know, I went back and looked at the stats. Last week I told you about 80%. Of Americans claim to be Christian. It's actually only 65% now. So two-thirds, though, even still, two-thirds of our country claims to be Christian, and yet, my goodness, look at what we see. All the fussing and fighting, blame game. He said, she said, well, he did it to me first. Well, they did this and that. It's all immaturity and childish. Rampant all over the country. And of course, of that 65%, there's only a handful that actually claim to be born again, Christ-filled Christians who believe that their spiritual growth and development is an integral part of their Christian walk. That growing and developing is a major thing. I've told you before, we have way more church members than we do born again Christians. There's a bunch of church, and so that 65%, I wonder how many of them would say, I am a Christian because I go to blank church. Church membership cannot save you. Church attendance cannot save you. You must be born again and know Christ. Matthew 7, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do great works in your name? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. So what's the gospel? That we would know him. So it's his desire that every one of us in this house mature and grow. Josh Kirkus had the word a couple of weeks ago. Before, in times past, when revival came, it birthed infants, and rightfully so. But this coming revival will be for maturing and forming Christ in the believers, so they can begin to walk in the authority of Christ and advance his kingdom. It's going to be a process to build a culture of maturity. But we want a culture in this church that our desire is to become mature. That is our absolute desire. We want to become more and more like Christ. Here's Galatians 4:19. New Living Translation. Oh, my dear children. He's writing to believers. They're born again and spirit-filled. They're the children of God. I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they're going to continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I'm telling you, the body of Christ, we need to grow up. We need Christ to be formed in us. We need spiritual transformation. We need to live free and transformed lives. Amen. Do you know John 8:31? Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples. So what do disciples do? Well, they abide in his word. The Bible wasn't written yet, so it's not limited to reading a book. Abiding in his word is you know his voice. He speaks to you. He's spirit. Amen. He's alive in the present tense. Amen. Jesus is here today. We're not here worshiping historical Jesus. We are in love with him in the present tense. And then he said, and they'll know the truth. So disciples know the truth. And then he said, the truth will set you free. So disciples live free lives. We live transformed lives. We are not slaves to our emotions. When somebody cuts us off in traffic, we do not respond with the one finger wave. We do not cuss them up and down. Amen, somebody. I'm telling you, remember that iceberg analogy. He is going to go deep on the inside of you and bring emotional health to you. Because it's challenging, it's difficult to say, I am spiritually mature, yet I am very emotionally unhealthy. So he begins in your spirit and he goes to work on your emotions, your soulish man. Three New Testament passages say your soul is being saved. And as I scan the crowd, we need it. Amen. We need our souls to be saved. We need our thinking changed, our emotions reformed. Man, I want to see the fruit of the Spirit every day in our lives. Every day, love. Every day, joy, peace. Amen. That passes all understanding. Kindness and gentleness. These are the things that are named among mature saints. And if nobody else will do it, we'll do it. And you know what? If nobody even in this church, I know you better. I know you want it. But if you said, no, I'm not, I don't want to grow up, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give myself fully to Christ. I'm going to find the reality of my freedoms. In the Message Bible, Galatians 4:19 says, I'm going to labor for you until Christ's life becomes visible in you. Man, our prayer is, Father, when people see us, let them see you. It's almost like we got to redefine what is a born again Christian really act like? Yes. Yes. Well, we want people to see Jesus in us. Yes. When I look at him, I see love without condition. That's right. joy unspeakable, peace that passes human understanding. So God's will and our desire is maturity and spiritual formation. Every one of us, myself included, Christ to be formed in us. Amen. And I just had a thought, you know, if you're thinking, well, I'm glad so-and-so's here. They really need to hear this. You're who I'm talking to, not them. And if you need one more, well, I'm pretty mature. Well, I want to talk to your spouse after church. I got it all together. All right, well, let me talk to your spouse. We'll find out. Maturity. You can write this down if you want. The condition of being fully developed. The condition of being fully Christ-like. This is our destiny. This is what it is to be a disciple. We got lost in church membership somewhere. Nowhere in scriptures that say, let's make church members. We're supposed to be making disciples. And disciples, what I mentioned, well, they abide in Him. They know the truth. They live free lives because they know the truth. How about this one? They love well. They'll know you're my disciples by how much you love each other. My goodness, have you seen the debates and stuff? I mean, our politicians are on TV all the time, and they're supposed to be an example. They're a terrible example. I have never seen so much immaturity.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It is sad. It is sad. And these are the best we can come up with. We better get a movement going. And let it start with us. Amen. We want Christ to be fully formed in us. That's what it is to be mature. Matthew 5:48. I'll get into that in this series. When he said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, the word there is mature. And he gives you the traits of them. Pray for those who persecute you. When you bless those who curse you, when you love people who don't love you, then you are getting to the end result of the process of maturity. I want to say this, young people. Notice I didn't say the definition of maturity is a certain age. So you can absolutely bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Maturity is being Christ-like. The fruit of the Spirit can be seen in you, young people, every single day. I love 1 Timothy 4. Let no one look down on you because you're young. You be a model. You be an example to other believers. Amen, somebody. Last week we looked at the five goals, and every one of them challenge us to be mature. Every one of those goals challenge us to be mature. Remember the first one? Build a culture of honor in our relationships. How do we have a culture of honor? Well, we're going to honor each other. We're going to be humble towards each other. And this doesn't just work at church or in your volunteer group or your first impressions meeting. This works in your living room. Honor each other. Be humble towards each other. Trust each other. We got to be able to trust because of Christ. Amen. I know we get hurt. Sin's a violation of trust. But man, your choice is you can either let the Lord be your defense and trust, you know, you step out in love. You step out and be vulnerable. You give even if you get hurt and let Him trust you. Or you can self-protect and build yourself a prison. So what else? Unity of the Spirit and hearts for reconciliation. Those are all not for the faint of heart. Okay, those are all marks of maturity, all five of those tenets. How about intentional? We want to be intentional this year and beyond in regard to His Lordship, in regard to maturity and into making disciples. We really want to make disciples. Amen? Who know Him as Lord. Problem is, if you think success in a church is how many church members you have, well, there may not be a one of them that knows Jesus is Lord. Could you imagine if 2/3 of this nation knew Jesus Christ as Lord versus 2/3 of this nation call themselves Christians? And we wonder why young people are like, I don't think so. I don't think I want to do that. My goodness. While I'm on it, here's what George Barna said. Discipleship doesn't happen simply because a church exists. It occurs when there's an intentional and strategic thrust to facilitate spiritual maturity. This is us. This is where we're going right here. I pray and believe that you want this as much as we do. This is our heart right here. We want to grow. I want to live the reality of my freedom. I absolutely want it. I want to live a transformed life. I want to love well. And you know another character trait? That's John 13, 34 and 35 when Jesus said that. Another character trait of a disciple is that you're all in. That you don't even regard your life as your own. Amen. That's where we're going. I love that quote there. It doesn't just happen automatically. We have to be intentional. Everybody say intentional. And then have this strategic thrust to facilitate spiritual maturity. And I've long believed that you get what you preach. And I'm telling you, we're going to hear, and that's not even all the time true, because we can amen the truth, walk out the door and forget about it. But we're not going to do that. Because this is going to live in every aspect of what we're doing as a church. We want to foster a culture of spiritual maturity. And that it doesn't just live here in the church building. It lives in our living rooms. In the music we listen to. In the movies we choose to watch. Oh my goodness. All the stuff under the surface, the iceberg that's under the surface of the water. He's going to go into those deep things. Thank you, Jesus. So we're intentional about His Lordship, serving our community. You know what I love about it? We're just going to give it all away. We're just going to serve them. Don't you want something for it? No. No. I guess what we want is to bless them and give them a picture of how generous and kind God is. It was the kindness of God that led us to repentance, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. So we just want to put Him on display for the whole world to see. So in our country, there's a cultural Christianity that allows you to say you're a Christian without actually knowing Jesus and without Jesus being Lord of your life. But we want Him to be Lord in every area. See, I want you to experience Christ in the hidden, not just in the hidden man of your heart. I want you to experience Christ in your mouth and how you talk. I want you to experience Christ in your marriage and how you treat each other in your marriage, how you discipline your children. I want you to experience Christ on your job. Yes. I want you to experience Christ on your lunch break. Yes. Does this make sense? This is Lordship. I want Him to be Lord of your social life, your physical well-being, your emotional well-being, your mental thoughts, and your spirit. Amen. So there's a clear call from the Holy Spirit to Grace Church, not only to introduce people to Christ who don't know Him, but to build a culture of maturity. And here's the fun part. Everybody who already knows Him gets to model for the new believers who come in what it is to be mature. And the church lost sight of that too over the years, where we were just counting converts, you know, like we had, you know, 100 people saved and baptized this year. Now that's great. But if we're going to transform America, we need them to become disciples. I'm glad they're born again. And yes, He'll go to work on their inner man, but we need to build a culture in our churches where growing up matters. And growing up and maturing is the goal. And then those who are mature in Christ, I can tell you one of the components for having a culture of maturity, it's got to be modeled. Now I'll give Stacy credit for that, because when we were talking about it last week, I said, what components do you think go into making Grace Church have a culture of maturity and mature believers? She said, well, I have to be modeled. Yeah. So I ran to the prayer closet and repented. Like, that was a good one, Lord. That's the thing. We can't just preach it. We got to be the Word made flesh. We can't just amen it. I pray you hear my heart this morning. My heart. I believe this is the heart of the Lord Jesus. That we grow up. And we mature. And that when people see us, they really do see Him. And the best time they can see Him. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I've been dealing with T-Mobile lately. We switched over from AT&T to T-Mobile, and they promised us like $185 a month, and the first bill was $300 and something. I mean, it's totally jacked up. And you can ask Stacy. I didn't panic. I didn't flesh out on it. Amen. I didn't. I was so kind to them. I was just, I don't know, it didn't matter to me. I just knew it'd be fixed. I just, so the next month came and it was 290. Cause I did call them, but I was very kind to them. And then they called me twice yesterday to tell me, hey, we're getting all this taken care of. We're going to take all that money off and we're going to make this right and fix it. And she said, because you've been so kind and so patient. Isn't that something? So when things go wrong, somebody cuts you off in traffic, that's when they can see him. That's the best time. Of course, where you got your Hillsongs on, going down I-40 and all is well, you just got a raise and woo, I love Jesus. Of course you do. Look at this one. Look at 1 Peter 2. This is New King James. Therefore, laying aside all malice. Well, I got to say it. And you know what we always love to say? I love Jesus. Jesus is easy to love. Of course you love Jesus. He died for you. But now he lives in you. So love the guy that cut you off in traffic. People are the hard ones to love. But anybody who says he loves God and hates his brother is a liar. See, that's what he, and it's a journey. When Jesus said in Matthew 5, and you ought to read it, it's fantastic, 38 through 48, all kinds of stuff he lays out. And then he concludes it with, be mature, be perfect as your Father is. It is an end result process to maturity. Okay? And so where we're at is we're saying, let's go all in to be mature together. Let's grow. And everything we do, discovery groups, everything, Sunday morning, whatever it is, let's commit to grow in Christ. It is a process. But for too long, believers are still on the dock. You know, just talking about it, amening it. Yep, that sounds right. Totally. Well, we got to get into the boat and head out. Amen. So lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Everybody say grow. That you may grow if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And then let me read a different version. Here we go, passion. So abandon every form of evil, deceit, hypocrisy, feelings of jealousy and slander. Abandon them all. In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life, especially now that you've had a taste of the goodness of the Lord Jehovah and you've experienced his kindness. Amen. That is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And when you break these down, these are ugly qualities of self-centeredness at the beginning. Malice is literally means evil-spirited. Have you seen the debates? Did I mention that? All right. A desire to injure someone. That's malice. You want to pay somebody back for a wrong they did to you. It's your desire to hurt someone or exact revenge. Can I tell you, revenge can't heal you. Forgiveness can. And then guile. Guile hides the unworthy motive that it seeks to further. There's some ugly qualities of self-centered there. I want to talk to you about immaturity. Immaturity is a tragedy both for you and for God. Remaining immature is a tragedy for you personally because it robs you of living your true life, your overcoming life that Jesus has given you as a new creation. And what happens is your emotions end up overtaking you. You're just helpless. You know, fly into a rage or a cussing fit or whatever it may be. Unhealthy emotionally, up and down. And then I mentioned the blame game. Why are you being that way? Well, because he did that to me. Okay, so he's Lord now. He's determining your character and attitude, and the words flying out of your mouth are his fault. You need to invite Jesus to go beneath the surface of the iceberg. Amen. The blame game. If you want to live by, well, he did it to me first, make sure you're talking about Jesus. Because whatever he has done in you and to you and through you, absolutely give it all away. because he's Lord. Doesn't matter what Robert does to me, because of what Christ has done to me, he's overran that. See, offense is when I assign more value to what Robert's done for me than what Jesus has done for me. That's offense. It's assigning more value to what Robert said about me than what Jesus says about me. And we're spiritually immature when we're always just offended. When we're always repaying evil for evil. We're just carnal. Yep. Truest thing about me is what God says about me. Not Robert, unless Robert is agreeing with God. How about this? Never let the enemy convince you that you are the way you are because of someone else's actions. Never let the enemy convince you you're being the way you're being because of somebody else. It's a deception. It's a powerless and a victim mindset. And we are in a culture that celebrates victimology. Flee it, church. Flee it. And if you have all this blame game and all this victimology, what do the immature need to see? Mature. They need to see mature. And I believe it's in human beings' wirings. When they see Christ, they're drawn to him. So let's go ahead and be all in. I know we've not arrived. We'll never arrive. But my goodness, I want Christ formed in every one of us. Amen. And again, I think that is just the heart. That's the heart of the Lord. It's a tragedy to God when we stay immature, because it takes mature saints to partner with him to change America. Can he use the immature? Sure he can, but long term and with consistency, it's going to take mature disciples to transform this area. So it becomes a tragedy for God, because he's looking for mature believers to execute kingdom authority, to walk in their true identity. In Matthew, well, let me say this. One more way to prove the point. Do you guys know anybody, and maybe it's yourselves, but you know anybody that's been hurt by an immature Christian? How many people left church because of immature Christians, immature leaders? That's my point. It's a tragedy for God if we all stay babies, because we know what happens. Ugly stuff happens, and people get hurt, and then they blame God for it. They let whatever that person did, because they're immature, come between their relationship with God. So immaturity is a tragedy for the Lord as well. All right, mature believers is what it takes to execute kingdom authority. Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of God. I'm going to give, what do keys do? They give you access. So I'm going to give you access to the Spirit of God. How many of you ever wondered what some of the keys are? Because we've got a few of us studying these out. I think love is one of the keys. I think humility is one of the keys. Remember, what gives us access to the Spirit of the Lord? We experienced it this morning. Praise. Praise. Isn't it incredible? As we were worshiping him on Come to the Altar, and then the spontaneous songs came out, and we were beholding him. Amen? We were seeing him spirit to spirit. We were sensing him. And nobody in this room was mad at anybody in that moment. Think about it. Because you become like who you behold. So why aren't we beholding him a whole lot more than Sunday? Every day of the week, you can praise him. Just let it be a lifestyle. Every day, I'm going to start my day, I'm going to behold you, Lord, because I want to treat people the way you treat me. I want to look at them how you look at me. Man, that's powerful. So I think humility gives us access to the Spirit of God. I think praise gives us access. I think agape love, when we love without condition and we tear those walls down, that's what we're entering into. We're going to build such tight-knit relationships with one another in our little groups, that our walls will come down and the Lord can get to what's underneath the surface so that we can be transformed into his likeness and image. Receiving is a key to the kingdom. How about hunger? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So those are all mature aspects. Now I want to say this. I said it last week. You're responsible for your own maturity in Christ. I cannot make you grow up. Amen. So you have to choose it, and then you make a decision. I want to grow and be mature. And then you put disciplines with it. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to resist. The enemy's going to throw things at you that sound way more fun. Yes. So you got to be disciplined in it, dedicated in it. But your maturity is your responsibility. Yes. It is. Now, we at Grace Church are responsible to model what maturity in Christ looks like. And you know what? If we don't, if you say something to us and we blow a gasket, please call us on it. Amen. I got nothing to hide. Listen, I'm not Jesus. They didn't try to stick me up there on the cross to eliminate your sin. I'm a work in progress like everybody in this place. So we want to model what maturity in Christ looks like. We want to create an environment where maturity can happen. We want to reveal God's heart for maturity. That's what we're doing this morning. Join with you in searching out truth and tools, weapons that can help you grow yourself and others into authentic Christ followers. I've already talked to the staff. We're working on ideas. How can we, if somebody doesn't have a group right now, or they don't have a close-knit family they can walk discipleship out with, how can we help them grow themselves? You know, we're working on this. Well, we need to have a panel. What do we need to do where we can let people who have been abiding, have been walking with Christ, just share with everybody who's hungry to start to help them? Tools and truths where people can grow themselves and then grow others into authentic Christ followers. It was prophesied 2 weeks ago that the Lord is growing Grace Church step by step, grace by grace, into the full expression of Jesus Christ in this territory. That is His desire, that Christ be fully seen in this territory. All of our beginnings are different. You know, I grew up Methodist. We have people that grew up Catholic here, Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Charismaniacs. There's a difference. But our destination is all the same. Even though we have different beginnings and different backgrounds, we're all headed the same place. Right here. God knew His people in advance. He chose them to become like His Son. You have been predestined before you ever showed up to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the goal. So that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That what? That looked just like Him. How did the church miss this? This is our goal. That we want to look like Christ. As a church body, we have to be committed to more than just having church. If you look at a wagon wheel, you know, if you have a center piece and then you have all the spokes. If you're at the center and church is a spoke, Jesus time is a spoke, work is a spoke, family is a spoke, leisure, vacation is a spoke. That's not going to help us. What has to be the center on the wheel? Jesus Christ. He's the center, and He flows into family. He flows into vacation. He flows into work. He flows into school. He's Lord of all those areas. He's got to be the center. You can't be the center of all things. It'll break down. Because there already is a center of all things. His name is Jesus. The universe does not support you being God. I liked it anyway. I thought it was funny. So we have to be committed to more than just having church. We want to be committed to having an impact and pursuing this call and purpose of God, that we grow ourselves and grow others. Can I get an amen right there? Okay, now, Beth Moore. I don't know if I see that one on here. So here's what it said. Fortunately, I wrote it down. Beth Moore said this week, we need revival so bad in this country. A return to the simplicity of wholehearted devotion to Christ. But we keep trying to feed a need for self-importance that will never get full. We're in a culture, you know, of selfies and self and me and my brand and all that. And what she said is we need an awakening in just the simplicity of, can we fully devote ourselves to Jesus? And I pray this is good news to you. But that's what we're doing in this house. That is where we are headed. We want to be fully devoted to Him in simplicity and love. Don't overcomplicate it. Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love each other well. And I think one of the ways we love each other well is we're concerned about each other. We intentionally invest in each other. We're intentional even with our children, our grandchildren, that they could know Him, not by preaching down or preaching information at them, but by simply revealing who Christ is and His love for them and that He made them. These are just things that we can do intentionally and make a decision and say that this is how we're going to be. I mentioned Morgan's word. How am I doing on time? Good. Spiritual coma. A state of being nourished enough to survive, but that's all. There's no movement, no processing, a place of mere existence. We're not truly living or thriving, no progress being made, and there's no true rest. Growing pains are necessary for growth. They are the dying of old ways or tendencies to make way for the new, which is capable of supporting the new body, new season we are coming into. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Morgan is quiet, but he's very gifted. He really is gifted prophetically. Morgan's the bass player. He's going to come out in a little bit and be totally embarrassed that I draw attention to him. Look at this, though. Growing pains are necessary. This is okay because it's the dying of the old ways. Sometimes we got to come and die. Make way for the new, which is capable of supporting the new body, new season we're coming into. And then the next one. There'll be an emotional awakening at Grace Church. A season of feeling and experiencing, crying, laughing, all in His name. Where we feel for each other, wanting and pursuing what is good for others and ourselves. We're building a community, a family of believers, or of believing brothers and sisters. All ages ministering to each other, building up, always moving forward, not of our own power, out of self-gain, but moving forward like a boulder rolling down a hill. It puts forth no effort of its own. It just accepts the power placed on it and rests as it rolls. That's so powerful. So all He needs is your yes and your decision, you know, every day. It's not a one-time decision. I think that's another place we missed it. It's like, come to the altar, right? Follow Jesus. Make a decision to accept Him. Hey, it's not a one-time decision in accepting. It's every day we got to live abiding in the vine. Yeah. I don't mean you get saved more than once. I just mean once we start that initial receiving and we get connected to Him, we need to continue to walk in Him and abide in Him. Ooh, this is a great statement. If we're going to be mature, we need to tether ourselves to the truth because we live in a blizzard of information, distraction, and technology. We have more television channels than in the history of the world. We have ample opportunity to distract ourselves. So how about this? Be the kind of person you want others to be. Be the change you want to see. I watch the debates. I say I watch them. I just watch the highlights or lowlights, depending on how you describe it. But I want to be the kind of person I want Americans to be. I'm not gonna take up stones and gripe about Americans. I'm even teetering. I don't want to give you a negative sense of America. I'm proud to be an American. I want to be the change I'd like to see, and I believe God wants to see in our country. Amen. While lifting up the country in prayer. Amen. Let's all give God praise for that. Let's all give God praise for that. Let's lift up our country. Let's not be the gripers and complainers. There's plenty doing that, but let's pray for our country and continually take our nation before God and then say, Lord, I want to be the kind of American I want others to be. Woo, amen. We make a decision to be mature, we have dedication to be mature, and we're disciplined to be mature. Because without daily Christ awareness, without daily intentionality for Him to be Lord, our life will be driven by distraction and habits. And you can write that down if you want, because it sure helped me when I first heard it. If we don't have a daily Christ awareness and intentionality in His Lordship, our life will be driven by distraction and habits. We need to have these tethers to the truth. Tethers are disciplines that tie you to an awareness of Christ every day. I am committed to an awareness of Christ, and I'm intentional about His Lordship every day. And I'm just going to start inviting Him to the iceberg. Lord, everybody sees this 10% of Steve. I'm inviting You below the surface where the 90% is to do a deep work in me so I can live the reality of my freedom. And you say, Brother Steve, this resonates. Man, I tell you, where do I sign up? Well, text. Text goals to 94,000. No, that's just part of it. It's really just a minuscule part of it. Serving is part of our maturity. But what do? I hope this bears witness with you. The first thing we need to do is get born again. If you're sitting here thinking, man, I want to be part of what's happening. First thing you need to do is get born again. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter to his mother's womb a second time? That's the dumbest quote in all of Scripture right there. Poor Nicodemus. Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's your mama, and the Spirit. Unless you're born physically and spiritually, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. He didn't say, this is a decent idea. You must be born again. If you want to take the journey with us here at Grace Church, the first thing you need to do is get born again. And then God desires that you not just be a born again Christian, but a disciple, a learner. Everybody say learner. A learner is humble, receptive, and teachable. Humble, receptive, and teachable. And that includes Brother Steve. Humble, receptive, and teachable. Devoted in every sense of the word to Jesus Christ, where He's not just Savior, He's Lord. I think a great example of this is, Gavin, you guys can go ahead and come. A great example is, here at Choctaw, if you live in Choctaw or Hera or Oklahoma City, the public school system exists for free education. Did you know you can send a child to Choctaw schools, and if they're poor enough to receive it, they can get a solid education. So if they go to school every day, humble, teachable, and receptive, they'll have an education. What if they go in pride? What if they go with their arms folded and saying, you can't teach me anything? Then they'll leave there an empty amid plenty that was offered. So in the same way, disciples, we have too many Christians that are living empty amid a kingdom of plenty. Jesus said you can have maturity, you can have the kingdom of heaven if you're poor enough to receive it. Are you a learner? Are you humble? Do you come to me every day? Teachable, humble, and receptive. Because if you do, all of heaven belongs to you. So what does that mean? Well, let's resist pride. Let's resist independence and self-sourcing. Truth of the matter is, there are no self-sourcing or self-sustaining branches. And you're a branch. Every self-sustaining branch I've ever seen is dead on the ground. So what do? Well, I'm born again. He wants you to be a disciple. He wants you to be a learner. He wants you to hear Him and obey Him. Lord, I want to walk in Your ways. Lord, I want to hear and obey Your voice on a regular basis. And if I mess it up, I'm going to get up the next day and say, today I will walk out my obedience. Today I will. I will not quit. I will keep going. And then, Lord, I want You to use me to work Your works. Work Your works through me. Last one, look at Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule and be of the same mind. What he's saying there is, when you got born again, you attained righteousness. So live righteously. When you got born again, you got forgiven. So live forgivingly. When you got born again, Christ came in. He loves you. His love exploded in your heart. So live to that which you've already attained. It's already been given to you. You're not trying to get righteous. You're not trying to get loved. You're not trying to get forgiven. It's all yours. Walk by those rules. Let people see what redemption looks like. When you think of redemption, would we not be a gracious people? Would we not be thankful and generous? So that which you've already been given, you're loved, you're righteous, you're justified, you're forgiven, walk by those same rules. Amen? Will you stand with me? My goodness. I'm going to say what I've been saying for a few weeks. If you're a believer and you're pierced in your heart and you know, I mean, maybe you're like me. Lord, there are areas under the iceberg, under the water. I want to be transformed. I want to commit to growing. I want to commit to be with other believers, etc., etc. If you have that tugging on your heart, a great way for you to find out what's available, maybe how we can help you. Jody Brown is right over here. She's our assimilation coordinator. She helps connect new people to the body and then connect them also to growth in Christ. Same with Gretchen Cannon. They may not have all the answers. Hey, the information desk, talk to them. I think the thing is, make a decision and we'll help you. We're not even fully equipped and ready yet for all this. I mean, what I'm saying is not everything is in place, I think, to build the culture of maturity, but I tell you what he's saying right now is rally everybody and can we get on board and know that this is God's word, this is God's heart, and as a church, we're going to commit to grow together. And then as we do, those components will come together and we'll build this culture of maturing saints. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here this morning and you are not born again. Well, God loves you and I want to invite you to receive him. Would you just slip your hand up if that's you and say, Brother Steve, I'm not born again. Jesus said you must be born again to start this journey of discipleship. Anyone that would raise your hand and say, Brother Steve, I want to begin the journey of knowing him. Anyone?
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.